you so much for coming out and hanging out with us tonight. You know, let's just take a minute and let's just honor the presence of the Lord here. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you, Lord, because your presence is already with us. Lord, Jesus, you said that wherever two or more gather in your name, you're going to show up. And so we already can sense, Lord, the weight of your presence in this room tonight, Lord God. And we want to thank you for that. Father, we're asking you to just help us to grow in our ability to sense and to hear and to discern. Lord, we really are looking to learn how to function as your sons and daughters, Father. And so we're grateful that you want to teach us even more than we want to learn it. So God, we just open our minds and hearts to you, Holy Spirit, and we honor all that you want to release to us tonight for the glory of the kingdom and for you, just to make you happy. In Jesus' name. Oh, man. Does it make you happy to make him happy?
Yes.
I mean, you know, this is an interesting thing. When we talk about, this is not on my message, so you just have to put up with it for a minute. But when we talk about pleasing the Lord, right? Pleasing the Lord can quickly become a burdensome work. Have you noticed that? That pleasing the Lord now all of a sudden takes on this thing, well, you know, if I don't do this, this, and this, if I don't do it right, he's not going to be pleased. Can I tell you, you start from a place of pleasure in him? Our starting place is that he's pleased with us. And he's not pleased because of anything that we've done, just as we're not saved because of anything that we've done. He's pleased because we put our trust in Jesus and received what he did through that cross and through, you know what I'm saying? That's what pleases him. And so we start from a place of pleasing him and go on from there to increase his pleasure by simply learning how to be who we really are, his sons and daughters. Oh, that's so cool. Come on. You know, you're allowed to react. Oh, what are you guys? All right. So tonight we're kind of hitting a really interesting point in our journey, you know, as a gathering of God's kids. Back on Easter, you know, the Lord had basically told me that I could share a message on what it means legally when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." What was the legal ramifications of that? And so we explored that on Easter, and basically what we discovered is that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," every single legal impediment, everything that the devil had put in place to disqualify us was completely removed out of the way, right? All the sin, all the penalty for sin, everything else, you know, the decrees, the Bible says, there were decrees against us that the devil had, you know, drawn up that, you know, said, no, you can't ever get close to God. All of that was taken away. And so today, every single believer under the new covenant has completely free access into the throne room, into the presence of God, 24/7, right? Because everything that prevented that was removed, you know? And we talked about just how effective the blood of Jesus is, because every single one of our sins, past, present, and future, is under the blood. And boy, that twists up people. You know, they were like, "What do you mean? How can they forgive sins I haven't committed yet?" And to which I always reply, "Well, how many of the sins you've already committed came after he was crucified and after he shed his blood?" And all of them. So he's not bound by time, right? What he did was so thoroughly pay for the penalty of sin that it's no longer in the equation. He took it out. It's completely done. Right? So now, when we mess up, you know what we're doing? When you and I mess up, we are not living up to our true nature. We're not living up to our true identity as sons and daughters of the Most High. And is God concerned about that? Of course he is. He wants all of us as his kids to do and to be and to do what he already said. You know what he said? Romans 8 tells us that it was God's plan from the beginning that we would be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. You know, we're all supposed to be little Jesuses running around doing stuff. It's true. That's what the Lord said. So anything that we don't do right, it just means, well, I'm still learning how to really be like Jesus. I'm learning what my new nature, my new identity really looks like and how I can live out of that. Isn't that good news? So we talked about that. We looked at how the devil gains access to us, right? We looked at Peter's example of when he was bragging, oh, I'll never leave you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, dude, you're going to deny you know me three times. And then Jesus says this really interesting thing. He says, you know, the devil's demanded to put you on trial, but I prayed for you. The devil's demanded to sift you like wheat. So we talked about that whole sifting thing and how we end up giving the devil the opportunity to jack with us because we still want to hold on to the old nature. We want to hold on to those old ways. And every time we do that, it just gives us, you know, exposure to what the enemy wants to do. And so we're learning, you know, what our responsibilities are in this thing. And in the process of that, we recognize that we never have to be afraid of the devil. Have you reached that point in your life where you're no longer afraid of the devil? You know, the only authority he has over us is what we give him. The only access he has in our lives is what we give him. I mentioned how, you know, Peter likens him to a roaring lion prowling around looking for somebody to devour. You know why he's roaring? Because he has no teeth. And that's a scientific fact. In a pride of lions, when a lion gets to an age where his teeth are worn down and he can no longer hunt effectively, well, that lion becomes the one that roars and sends the flock of whatever they're trying to eat. He scares them so that they run away from him, but right into an ambush of the other lions. So, you know, the enemy, he's been totally defanged. He's been totally defeated. And so we talked about that. We looked at how our words become an avenue through which the enemy can accomplish his works. What we're learning is that as sons and daughters of the Most High, we've been restored to our place on the earth that Adam and Eve originally had before they fell. When God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he basically said, take care of this place. You know, he said this to Adam, really. Take care of this place and guard it. Keep it. Okay? And so there was an authority that was placed in Adam to actually do that. And so now that Jesus has restored us because he's totally forgiven us, taken away the sin, we're now in a place of authority like we never were before under this new covenant. And so what does that mean? Well, when a king or queen makes a proclamation, what happens? They speak, and everybody runs and does what they say, right? When someone of that level of authority speaks a word, guess what? They see something happen. Something happens immediately. Why? Because they have authority. And so what we're learning is that when we say things, those words carry authority as well. But who carries out our words? Well, it's either going to be the enemy, because he agrees with something I said, or it's going to be we're saying what the Lord gives us to say, and so Holy Spirit begins to move. Does that make sense? So we talked about that. You can go back on our website, heavensinvasion.com, and you can check out all those messages in depth. I just wanted to kind of catch some of you up, because I know there's a bunch of folks here that are here for the first time. And so the one thing I want to make very clear is that in all of this, our relationship with the Lord, with Father God, is never in question. No matter how I mess up, no matter what I do wrong, no matter what access I give the enemy in my life, it never affects who I am to him. See, Jesus took care of that. He completely took care of that. So that our relationship with the Lord is secure, because nobody can take away the blood of Jesus. All right? So it's important that we understand that. However, there are consequences if I mess up in this earthly realm. You understand that, right? I can mess up my relationship with you as a friend just like that. And you'll know what that what that's like. You know what it's like to have relationships go south because either you or them didn't do right in that relationship, right? So we're dealing with these kinds of things. We're dealing with the consequences of what we say. The enemy is still trying to deny us the full benefits that Jesus gave to us through the blood. And so now what we're seeing is that God wants to begin to teach us how to take the devil to court. See, the devil's a legalist. He's a total legalist. He will try to deny you a blessing from God because, well, you know what? You have bitterness in your heart towards so-and-so. And the devil will take that and do what he is labeled, right? You know what the Bible calls him? The accuser of the brethren. And that word accuser is actually a legal term. It's like he is a prosecuting attorney in heaven. And he stands there in the court and says, you can't bless so-and-so because they have an unresolved sin situation in their life. Not against the Father, but against somebody else on the earth. And that gives him legal right to stand there and say, ain't happening. Whatever that blessing was that you know you wanted, that you asked God for, the devil can say, it's not happening. And so, what you know, and I don't know about you, but I used to kind of get frustrated when I would pray over a situation and nothing would happen. And you would pray. Come on. Am I the only one here that's ever been through that? Right? You pray. Nothing's going on. It's like, God, what's going on? Why is this happening? And what we're learning now is that there are very real reasons why this stuff doesn't happen. And it's because somewhere, somehow, the devil's gained legal right to prevent it. And so we need to discover, well, what do I do in that case? Because God's will doesn't change, right? He wants people totally saved, totally free, totally healed, all these things that he's paid for by the blood. He wants that for every single person. So it's time for us to recognize what it is that we're called to do. So let's jump in. Let's look at Luke 18 and verses 1 through 8. That sun's really being a problem tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Just put it wherever you have to, dog. Get it put away over here and get it out of the sun. This happens once a year when we battle the sun. Good. Nicole's getting a tan tonight. All right. So Luke 18:1, it says, and Jesus, this is Jesus talking. He says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. You ever get that place where it's like, oh God, why is it taking so long? Saying to them, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, right? She's wearing me out with this. I'm sick and tired of this lady coming and you know, bothering with her case. Because of that, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she'll wear me out. Okay. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So he uses this example, right? This unrighteous judge, this guy that doesn't care about anybody or anything, finally giving in to this woman who comes, you know, probably day after day after day after day. And he uses this example to compare this guy with the Father. And what Jesus is basically saying is that the Father is not like this guy. You get that, right? He's not going to delay long. He's not going to wait and wait and wait for you to find the justice or to get the justice that you need in your situation. So it's to me, it's a remarkable thing to realize that Jesus takes prayer and frames it in the context of a courtroom. Because that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about prayer. He said, I want you to pray, and I don't want you to lose heart. because you're not praying the way you should. You know, you're crying out, you're asking God, you're believing Him, you're declaring the Word, you're doing all these things, and nothing's happening. And He's saying it's because you're not functioning in the courtroom. You're not getting a judgment from the Lord, from the judge of the universe, God the Father. You haven't gotten a judgment from Him that basically prevents the devil from continuing to do what he's doing. Does that sound like good news to anybody? It really does. And so we're going to just take a few minutes and look at some of this, and then we're going to do it. We're going to court tonight.
Okay.
Really? Yes. Thank God I'm not the judge, but we're going to court, right? Now, in verse 8, and actually earlier than that, where is it? Verse 7, no, verse 5 and verse 8, we see the word justice. And the idea there is to vindicate, okay? It's you're clearing someone from an accusation, okay? You're receiving a judgment that clears you from an accusation. Okay? And so we're wanting to come before God so that we can be cleared of an accusation that the devil's made against us. Alright? Now keep in mind that his accusation is probably true. What? I thought the devil was a liar. Yes, he is. But he also knows how to use the truth to his own advantage.
That's right. That's right.
So he'll come before God and he'll make an accusation that's true about something that I did. And that accusation, until it's dealt with, gives him legal right to prevent some blessing, something that God wants to happen on the earth. He's able to prevent that from happening. Okay? So, what does it look like? Well, first of all, we have to remember, and this is a pretty basic thing, we've talked about this a lot, where are we right now in the spirit realm?
Seated.
Well, you're seated in the earthly realm too. Yeah, you're right. We live in two dimensions at the same time, right? We're here, but we're also what? We're seated in Christ in heavenly places. Okay? And that's constant. You never lose that. Even though you may feel like you're disconnected from the Lord, you're not. That is your settled position is here and there at the same time. So let me ask you a question. You're here in this room right now, sitting in this room, right? If I told you, come into this room, you'd look at me like, what? I'm already here. So if I say to you, come into the glory, come into the throne room, I'm also saying something stupid because why? You're already there. You see, our language sometimes gives us a problem because we put an unnecessary separation between us and God by saying, yes, I'm coming into the throne room. I'm coming into glory. Okay? We're already there. We're already there. And so to have an encounter with God in that third heaven place, in the throne room place, it can be instantaneous. Now, I know that there have been some prophets that have used this elevator kind of analogy. You know, we're going to go up now. And you know what? If that helps you, perfect, do it. I don't care. You know, I'm not against that. I'm saying whatever works for you. But what I'm believing that God wants us to understand is we're not separated at all from where he is. He says we're already there, right? So, in Hebrews 4, we have this great passage, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What I just read to you is what we do. This is what we do when we go to court, right? We actually draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. We draw near. You guys are having fun with that sunshine, aren't you? You can move. Unless you want to get a tan. I mean, you know, it's up to you. Yeah, we have this every time this year. So this is the process. We're coming into the throne room boldly, with confidence, because that's what Papa wants for us, right? That's what he's saying is ours in Christ. And if you have a problem with that right now, if you do, we're going to pray for you. Okay? Because this is not anything that we've done. This is all because of the blood, right? Because Jesus went through the heavens. He brought the blood into that temple and sprinkled it once and for all, right? So it's all good. So what's the first step when you need to go to court? What do you think your first step ought to be?
Get a good lawyer.
Get a good lawyer. Absolutely. You want to get a good lawyer. I mean, unless you've been through law school, and even then, what do they say? That he represents himself as a fool, the lawyer? That, I don't know. There's some crazy statement like that, right? Huh? Right, a lawyer that represents himself as a fool for a client. Thank you, Millie. Good one. So, yeah, that's the first step, is to get a lawyer. So, who do you think would be the best lawyer to get?
Jesus.
You think? Absolutely. And thankfully, aren't you glad he already is? John, in his first letter, chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." So we have an advocate, Jesus. The word advocate is another word for lawyer, right? What's the Spanish word for lawyer?
Abogado.
Abogado, right? What does that mean, literally? Advocate, right? Yeah. So we have an advocate. I love people at the same time. That was like, woo! Yes, I know a little Spanglish. So yes, an advocate is a lawyer used in a court of justice to either denote a legal assistant, or counsel for the defense. I can't think of any better defense lawyer than Jesus, can you? Come on, right? Paul writes this in Romans 8, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect?" Well, the devil tries, doesn't he? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Have you heard about this? That Jesus is always making intercession for us. It says that in Hebrews 7:25. He's always making intercession. Now, we think of intercession as just that he's praying, right? Because we think of an intercessor as someone that prays all the time. But not in this instance. In this case, the word intercessor is someone who makes petition. And petition is a legal term. When you need to have something done, you have to make a petition. You have to petition the court. Have you ever heard that phrase? Petition the court. And so it's an application for a court order or for some kind of judicial action. That's what a petition is. And when you make a petition, you are addressing the court and you're presenting a formal petition. And that's what this word intercessor actually means. So we need to, when we do this, we have to see Jesus with us as our defense attorney, as the one who's going to make petition, who's going to actually present our defense before Father God, the judge, right? So that's step number one. What's the second step? Well, you got your lawyer, you're in court, what do you do now?
Present your case.
You present your case, exactly. You're going to present your case. So in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul writes this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So this word supplication, right? It's an interesting thing. He says prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. Two of these words, supplication and request, have legal ramifications. A supplication is another word for a request or a petition regarding a need that needs to be met. That's what these words mean, right? The word request itself talks about the specifics. What are the specifics of your request? Okay? Like if you said, well, Lord, my petition right now is that, you know, I want the devil to leave me alone. All right? Well, you know, that's not a bad petition, but it's not very specific. What are the specifics of your request? Father God, I'm coming to you because I want the devil to take his hands off my finances. For example. Okay? So it's got to be specific, right? And so in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that which we have before him, the Father, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Those specific things that we bring before him in the court, he says, I hear that, and I'm going to give you an answer to your specific request. Isn't that good news? Right? So we're going to let Jesus help us do that and be able to state clearly the requests that we have as we're before him in heaven. Now, the third step is one that I don't think most of us would be able to guess. I know I didn't. But keep in mind, we're dealing with an accusation of the devil against us in some way, or against another person if we're representing somebody. So the third step is, I've got to be willing to acknowledge the truth in that accusation. The devil's accusing me of holding unforgiveness against somebody, and because of that, it's true, right? And because of that, I am now being denied some, you know, answer to prayer that I've been looking for. I have to be willing to admit where I'm wrong. Does that make sense? So the third step involves hearing the accusations of the enemy and being willing to accept the truth in them and repent. Okay, repentance is a huge step in this process. Because the enemy is going to come, is going to make his accusations, and if I try to deny it, if I try to weasel out of it, you know, or whatever, then I'll never get to the place where the Father can say, that's covered. You're free. Okay? So being able to repent before the Lord concerning whatever the accusation is so important. Jesus gave us a glimpse of this in Matthew 5:25-26, where he said, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you've paid up the last cent. He says, make friends quickly with your accuser, with your opponent. What does that look like? Okay, the devil's accusing me of acting in an unchristian way to somebody. And you know what? I may think I have been justified. They jacked with me and I just gave them the same back. But is that what we're supposed to do as a representative of the kingdom? So I hear that and I say, yeah, right, you're right. Did you know that this is the only time you're allowed to agree with the devil? It's the only time. When he makes an accusation, and you know there's truth to that accusation, Jesus here is saying, don't waste your time. Agree quickly with your accuser. This is a little harder when it comes to another person. Have you noticed that? Somebody comes and accuses you of X, Y, or Z, and what's your first response? I did not! You throw up that, you know, that
word.
Huh?
Fighting words.
That was a fighting words. Ooh, don't mess with Rosa. Exactly. Right? We get defensive because we don't want to be accused of doing something wrong. But guess what? If I don't stay open to that kind of approach of someone coming to me and saying to me, guess what? You offended me. You hurt me. You disappointed me. I have to be willing to accept that accusation in order for me to grow beyond it, to be set free from it. So Jesus is giving us a huge principle here that when the accusation of the enemy comes, you've got to agree with whatever truth there is in it. Does that make sense? Because if I don't do that, if I refuse to be corrected by whatever or whoever, you know what I've just done? I've taken my first step down the road to deception. Because now I'm not listening to anybody. You can come to me and say, I'm concerned because I don't think you're doing something right here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, get out of here. I know what I'm doing. I lived through that personally. Back in the late 80s, a long story, so I can't really tell it here, but I lived through that because I thought that I had a lot of things figured out. And people were trying to tell me, you might want to check that. And I just refused. And it ended up where I was deceived and prideful, and pride goes before a fall, and it was not a happy time in my life. Okay. So I learned the hard way. One of the things that really helped me out was a little book by Francis Frangipani called The Three Battlegrounds. And at that time, I was able to get a copy of that, and I'm going to read you a quote from Francis that this literally changed my life back at that time. He wrote, "For all that we think we know, we must know this as well. We can be wrong." And I have Millie to make sure that I know that.
That hello was specifically for Russ Mann. That was specific for Russ Mann.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. So this willingness, to stay open and vulnerable and willing to be corrected is so huge. And so in the court, that's what's going to happen. You know, you're going to hear accusations of the enemy. And don't waste your time. Wherever the truth is, agree and repent.
Right?
So we're gonna do that. We're gonna repent. We're gonna break our agreement with whatever we did or we said. Turn around. And there'll be times when you want to declare blessings in response to that. You know. So we'll do that as well. And then the fourth step, of course, is receiving the Papa's judgment on our behalf. Right. Once we've done that, once we have acknowledged the accusation of the devil and been willing to take responsibility for it and repent, you know what happens? Jesus steps up and says, "Well, you know what? I paid for that.
That's right.
I paid
That's
for
right.
that.
That's right."
And the Father looks at that and goes, "Wow, okay." Case closed. And what happens is the devil loses his legal right to continue to stop whatever it was that I was praying about or praying for. It's awesome. It really is. And I really have never understood how the promises of God in the scripture also have a legal basis. You know, I mean, listen, we all know the promises of God. We quote them, we declare them, we pray them. Promises of God are awesome. You know, they really are. But I never really understood the legalities behind the promises of God. The word itself means to announce, to proclaim, to profess. You're basically announcing that you're going to do something. That's the foundation of this word promise that's in the Bible. When we talk about the promises of God, he's announcing, he's proclaiming, "This is what I'm going to do." That's a legal thing right there. As the king of the universe, he's telling us, bam, there we go. And so, you know, that's to promise, the noun promise, the promise of God. It's a law term denoting a summons, which means to proclaim or announce. What's a summons? Anybody ever get a summons? Don't you just love getting a summons? No, it's no fun. But a summons is an authoritative command, message, or signal by which one is called to do something, right? It's something that the court issues and says, you better do this. Now, who's being summoned? Who do you think's being summoned? Come on. Who's the summons being issued against?
Us.
No, not against us. God is not against us. Come on, think about it. We're getting justice being done here. There is a legal document that's being released on our behalf.
Oh, the devil.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. This is an authoritative legal thing that the Lord is releasing on our behalf. And it's in the form of a promise. Isn't that something? We think about the promises of God and we say, well, yeah, you know, God's promised, and He has. But the enemy can somehow and sometimes block our reception of that promise in our lives. That's what we're talking about. The command is there. The decree is there, right? The proclamation is there. God says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Well, God, I've been praying for so-and-so for all these years, and they're still sick. What's going on there? Well, we got to go to court and find out. To me, this is amazing because it's going to give us the ability to deal with issues that have been hanging on way too long. I'm excited, right? So, I'm going to move on because, we're getting late. What's step five? Step five is simply for us to come into agreement with the Lord. What the Lord's saying, right? I've issued this. Here's your promise. Once again, my declaration, my decree over your life is this, whatever it is. Okay? Again, it could be, you know, for healing. Say, you know, the Lord says, once again, by Jesus' stripes, that person was healed. But now, what's been blocking it gets taken out of the way. And so I say, yeah, Lord, I agree. And I stand here and I declare what you just told me. I declare that as my way, you know, of taking my part in this. Because we have a part in this, right? We're working together with the Lord. And so the verse in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, as many are the promises of God, in Jesus they are yes, therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And this word amen, right, what does it mean? So be it. Right? So be it. So when I say amen, when I say I agree with Lord what you just said, what you just released in your judgment on my behalf, I'm saying amen. I'm proclaiming, yes, I agree, so be it. Is that awesome or what? This is what we get to do in the courtroom of heaven. Alright? So, there's a lot more to it, but we're not going to get into the rest of this tonight because I want to go to court. And I'm so happy to have my good friends Roger and Robin here with us tonight.
Amen.
because they're going to help us because they go to heaven and do this court thing all the time, right? So how's this going to work? Well, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how do we try this? What do we do? What's our first test case? Right, so to speak. And I don't know. I felt like the Lord was going to bring an angel or send an angel to us tonight. And that angel was going to have a message that would lead us into this courtroom experience. Okay? So, I don't know. Is anyone picking up that there's an angel here with that purpose? Anybody see an angel? I know we got some seers in the house tonight.
He's landed.
Okay, good. Anybody see or hear or sense, you know, who this angel is?
He's an officer of the court.
He's an officer of the court. Okay, so that's why I'm glad you're
Well, Pam is a good seer, too.
Yeah, I know. Pam's a seer. Anna's a seer. Adami's a seer. She's a seer. Who else has a seer gift?
Marie.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's take a minute and let's just release our prayer language. All right? Could you say something? I don't know. Could you? Come on.
There's always an angel that's here, even when mantle of power goes on. So, in other words, he doesn't really leave the room. But there may be one that has just come in. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. There's angels that come here all the time. But that's, you know, my sense was that the Lord was going to send one, really, you know, have one come that would help us with this part. So let's just do that. Let's take a minute and let's just release our prayer language and let's see where the Lord wants to go with this, all right?
I don't hear you.
So someone here, there's something here that the Lord is focusing in terms of somebody that he wants us to go to court on behalf of. Who is that person that the Lord wants us to go to court on behalf of? Hey, what did you see? What did you hear? Boy, I'm going way out of the limb here, right, brother? Can I have a saw?
It's fine.
It's fine. Okay. What you got, bro?
I believe that I just feel like my wife should be the one that we're going to court for.
Okay.
Because there's something. Yeah.
She's got to be in agreement.
She's supposed to have surgery on Thursday.
You have a surgery on Thursday.
And, I went to church this morning, and it was a great anointing, and the Holy Spirit was just all over it. And he spoke to me and told me that I should not have the surgery, and that I'm actually going to have something else. He gave me a vision.
Okay.
And we prayed, my husband and I, that we would come here tonight and we would get confirmation on that vision.
Okay.
Do you want me to
tell you
what the surgery
is? No. Yeah. What do you guys think?
No.
Hmm? So the Lord's going to give us confirmation, but it's not going to be a courtroom thing.
Right.
That's what we're sensing at this point, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get whacked tonight, let me tell you.
That's good, because when we're praying, because the thing is, we need confirmation whether it's of God or not.
Okay, yeah, and that's cool.
If she's hearing clearly,
yep.
And we pray that whether it was one of the leaders or someone from the congregation,
mm-hmm.
that the Lord would put their confirmation. Whatever it is
right.
that he wants to say to her
Amen.
On somebody's heart.
Okay. There you go. That's awesome. I see that hand. You raised your hand. That'll teach you to do that for no reason.
I believe the issue would be something that has been going through the generation.
Something through the generations.
In other words, it keeps okay. repeating itself, which means the enemy has a legal right
okay.
to keep that in place to keep a blessing from coming.
All right.
So it's like every generation, the same time of a person's life,
yeah.
something happens.
Yeah.
People lose their wealth. They get sick, premature, something like that.
Okay.
That's where the enemy has all these books.
Right.
And he holds these books in every generation. He keeps putting that
yeah.
back before the Lord, saying, this issue has not yet been dealt with.
Been dealt? Sure.
And until it is,
yeah.
you can't bless him and stop it.
Okay.
Okay, so good. So, it may be with something with sickness.
Right.
Whatever.
Just generate.
We actually saw a program on television. I think it was Sid Wall.
Okay.
Where this guy said that every generation, like Roger just said, every generation, his great-grandfather, his grandfather, his
right.
father, him, his two sons, all got shot.
Okay,
and
so that's a good example.
Did some prison.
Yeah, good example.
So it was like a generational curse.
Yeah,
is that
sure.
what you're saying, Roger?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So did you guys have something? Did you
I
want
have to... something.
Come on.
The name Michael?
Michael?
Yeah. That's what I kept hearing, Michael.
The name
of Michael.
So, Michael?
Yes.
Dude, man, that's like, you can't get no higher than that.
Wow, you're really
I'm like, what?
And then Jay don't want to say something, but she was shy. But the angel here is Michael. Keep hearing that.
Keep hearing Michael. Wow.
All right. Okay, wow. Now ask the Lord.
Yes.
Is the angel Michael, is he over this region? Or is it the one who is set over Israel?
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't know
what
was about
the
that.
Question?
Is Michael, an angel named Michael, who is over this region,
right.
because he's the one who has authority to bring us into this place.
Right.
Because he is a representative of this region.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else? What else are we hearing? What else are we seeing?
Well, I heard the word justice.
Justice. Well, that's so what we're trying to do tonight.
I know, but
yeah.
I did hear that word.
Okay.
So we're looking good. At a corporate thing.
Right.
Where everybody may be bringing one individual thing.
Yeah.
It would be the first thing that they hear in their spirit.
Okay.
That the enemy is holding against them or their generational line. It could be unforgiveness.
Right.
It could be finance. It could be anything. But because we're doing a corporate thing.
Right.
There's going to be different things. But the Lord has given us an opportunity to see his righteousness and his justice prevail for us, even in a corporate setting.
Okay.
Okay?
Good.
So what I'm hearing is just that. The Lord is going to tell them when we ask,
yeah.
what is the one thing that we could bring before you now in this corporate setting?
Okay. Amen. So let's do that. Lord, what's the one thing that we can bring before you right now in this corporate setting? In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. Put you on the spot, brother.
Young lady has her hand up again.
She just died.
Oh. She needs to speak. I have 5 months that she's done this. Come on, talk. I know you got something to say. What did she say? She
just keep seeing the word wealth.
Wealth?
Okay.
Did she say
wealth? Wealth.
Wealth.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Now, let me say something about wealth or prosperity. What a lot of people don't know is generationally, if our ancestors did not give tithes or offerings or take care of the widows and the orphans, even though we may be doing it, the enemy has a right to block the fullness of our inheritance because of what our ancestors did not do.
What?
Yes.
I'm in trouble.
A lot of things that are being held back from you could be because our ancestors did not sow seed and bring it into the storehouse so we would have seed to sow. Okay? And when that happens, we're paying our tithes, giving our offerings, but we're not getting the breakthrough, and we don't know why. It's because the enemy says, I have a right to devour them because their ancestors did not sow a harvest of righteousness.
Wow.
Okay, so...
And so that's a corporate issue.
And it even affects us physically as health. Because it will come in and rob us by going to the doctor, not being able to work, so forth. So it's a big deal.
So how do we do this now?
Well, one of the things, first of all, we do is we just simply, we do a corporate prayer.
Okay.
By, first of all, confessing.
Okay.
We confess that our ancestors, we or our ancestors, may not have honored the word of the Lord that has given the enemy the legal right to put a lien against us. See, he's got a lien against us, which means he has a right to come and take from us whenever he wants to. It's like we're doing good and then all of a sudden stuff starts breaking down.
Yeah.
And then we get our finances built back up and something else happens and it just keeps coming in and plundering. So we have to confess by asking the Lord. We say we confess that we and our ancestors did not honor the Lord by giving tithes and offerings, which were basically dedicated to Him. So that there would be meat or life in the house of God to take care of His children, to take care of His kingdom.
Yeah.
And even though our ancestors did not do this, and even though we're doing it, we acknowledge that they did not do what needed to be done in order for us to be blessed.
Right.
So they stole from God.
Yeah.
Okay?
So I mean, you want to just lead us in there?
Yeah, let's... Okay. No, this is not in the... What?
Okay.
I keep seeing something right here as you were talking, and I didn't know what it was. First I thought it was an angel, but I don't think it is.
It's the accuser.
And it's got a sickle.
Yeah, like, it's an accuser.
But it makes sense after it's the sickle that cuts down the wheat. Take the
harvest. You just put out the stubborns for him to cut.
The harvest.
It's right here. It's carrying the sickle that cuts down
okay,
the
harvest. Okay, now let's do this one thing here since we're here. Let's do this. Yeah.
You got to come up.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Raise your hand.
No, I didn't raise my hand.
Okay, now remember, there are always officers in the court, and they stand in different places. Remember, our church system was set up as a courtroom. That's why you had the elders, which was the jury. And they would...
There's a large angel, winged angel, right behind you on the platform.
Well, you might want to, just because God wants you to understand, we all have to sit behind the prosecutor.
I have a question.
All right.
Okay, this is just, don't turn.
Well, we got to hear you.
Okay, my thinking is,
hold on.
Because this is a corporate thing that should affect us corporately, everybody.
Yeah.
That... My thinking is, I think the whole, when she said the wealth, it's not only what they didn't do that we have, you know, we have reaped a harvest of unrighteousness, if you will, but it's also affected our mindset,
yes.
Our belief system, and I think that's really what God wants to deliver us from.
Amen.
All right, now the first thing we need to do, of course, what's the first thing... the bailiff does when the judge gets ready to come in.
All right.
Because it's a position of honor. Even in the Bible, it tells when somebody of age or white hair or whatever comes in, that everyone was to stand in respect. All right? So, okay. Now, so Lord, we thank you for your presence. And Lord, we come before you, first of all, Lord, and we have asked this because you have told your son, Russ, that you didn't tell him not to do this. You basically, you know, guided him that we have a right to come in here and do this. So, Lord, we thank you that we're here. And so now, Lord, we would like for all of your children to sit down. Okay, now, we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to command that all the books of the records pertaining to the people that are here today to be brought before you and be opened to the pages that hold every one of our names and our descendants' names in them as to the sins of our forefathers and even to the sins of ourselves, where we refused or we did not obey and gave to the enemy the right to walk. Do you have anything, honey, you want to add? Okay. So we're just going to pray this. It's a pretty simple thing. We're just going to acknowledge. So let's all stand again because we're going to face the judge just like they would do, right? So we say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I acknowledge and confess that the enemy holds a truth against me and my ancestors that says we did not give or honor you
in a righteous way
that we may have given tithes and offerings
to other gods
instead of to you.
So we ask you to forgive us
and to place the blood and the cross between us and the sins of our forefathers
so the enemy from this moment on can no longer use this against us.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
You got that look on your face. I know you have something to say.
I do not.
What you thinking?
I do not.
Did anybody feel anything leave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Indiscretion. Okay. Indiscretion is a lack of wisdom. Right?
Immediately I saw chains being broken, chains of slavery. You don't have to work hard anymore because it's been broken. You've been delivered. You've been forgiven. The chains are being broken. No longer working hard just to make ends meet, just to get a paycheck, just to spend it on your bills. You will have money in your bank accounts. You will be wealthy, says God.
What else are you hearing? What else are you sensing?
Truth!
Well, I saw something that wasn't very good. As Roger started, well, I don't know what this means. As you were praying, that thing went after people.
Okay. All right, then we'll
do it. Here he comes.
Here he comes. I have authority because God gave me authority.
Come on.
That's right. All right,
Lord,
I thank you
that the enemy
cannot hold a lien against me. Anything that he has put into place. All the way until your return. We ask you to remove it. We ask you to remove all timeline curses.
We ask you to remove all timeline curses.
if he has any arguments,
if he has any arguments
from this moment on,
from this moment on,
he will come to you about it.
He will come to you about it
through my attorney.
Through my attorney,
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And he can deal with him.
And he can deal with him
as I go into the hidden place.
As I go into the hidden place
of my heavenly Father.
Of my heavenly Father.
And I rest.
And I rest
while Jesus.
While Jesus
reminds him.
Reminds him
that he is total victory.
That he has total victory.
Wow.
Wow. Good. Yeah. Yeah, you can talk to my lawyer.
That's right.
And so, and what I think what, you know, what this was, what she saw, was the enemy's attempt to keep you intimidated so that your mindset doesn't change. You see, this is how the enemy works. He knows that he has no legal basis. He has no real ability to do anything other than to convince us that he does. To convince us in some way that he's still going to be able to touch your life and affect what you are able to accomplish and what God has for you. And so this thing that you saw, you know, trying to attack people, it's a mindset issue now. Will you come into full agreement with the truth that your heavenly Father wants nothing more than to bless you beyond anything you could even imagine? Beyond all that we can ask or think, Paul says in Ephesians 3, right? He wants to release over our lives. You know, under the old covenant, one of the ways that God confirmed his covenant with his people, it was through blessing. It was through releasing tremendous amounts of material goods. Now, we have other ways under the new covenant, but guess what? That old one didn't go away. That old, I think, of God blessing you and bringing you into a place of abundance to show people he's a good daddy. Okay? And so right now, if you still have anything going on in your mind that says, oh, I don't know, I'm kind of scared, I think something might still happen, you need to immediately cut that off and say yes. No to it in the name of Jesus. Because he's a liar.
Yes.
He's a liar. Anything else? What else did he say? Sure.
That's good. Yeah. It was like I felt, I felt a heaviness around my neck.
You felt what?
Like a heaviness.
A heaviness, okay.
Like before we started praying the first time, and then after we prayed that time, it was like it was lighter, but it wasn't like gone. But after we prayed just now, it's like, okay,
it's gone. Good. What else? You started this whole thing. That's awesome.
Sorry. I don't know if this is an individual thing, but I feel like God is putting down some of you in your hearts to give. Yeah. Whatever it is that you feel like you need to give.
Yes.
So.
Amen.
I'll put him on there.
Yeah. That's one of the ways, right?
That's one of the ways that you actually seal the breaking of a curse in your life, right, as you move in the opposite spirit. Okay, so whatever that looks like, and believe me, this is no appeal for you to give here, but you let God tell you to show you where he wants you to sow, because that's all that matters, that you hear him. Okay?
Oh, I thought you. And I really feel like you don't need to be scared that, oh, this is all I have on me. And that's, you know, like, there's lack. Because that's one of the things that she said, you know, God wanted to break off with us. It's like,
that's the mindset.
This is all that I have. Right.
Yeah, that's the mindset.
I've
exactly.
Well, come on.
Something I've never seen before.
Good, I like that.
I've never seen this. Somebody in here has got to know what it means. It's like, okay, over us, there's some kind of a metal, you know, I don't know whether brass, gold, I don't know what, it's a metal thing. But over it, there's a bunch of Hebrew lettering or whatever, some, you know. And I don't know what it says.
I mean, I don't know what it says, but I believe it's a declaration of some kind. And it's in, it's over the, I don't, I've never seen this. Okay, like, you know, the thing is flat and then it comes down, you know, like a real pretty whatever. I don't know what even but all, but it's lots of lettering up there. It's a lot of, I mean.
It's the promise to Abraham and his seed. And we are a part of the seed.
Wow.
It's that promise. God put that promise.
I know it's from the Lord. I don't know what it says, though. I just.
Can you see the lettering clear enough that you could write it?
No. Okay. Well, if I look hard enough, maybe I could.
Yeah. I'd love to see what that is. You know what I mean?
I've never seen anything like that.
And so was it like a bowl or is it?
It's like.
Ask the Lord to translate it for you.
There you go. Duh. But wait a minute. It was like a bowl?
It's like, okay, it'd be like, it's probably hollowed out inside, but, you know, from my angle, it looks flat here, but it's ornate a little bit, not extremely ornate underneath. But the things are all like, you know.
It's a prayer bowl.
The prayer bowl?
The prayer bowl.
Ah, okay.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely a lot of words over there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's probably a lot of things that have been hindered because the enemy would not allow them to go into the proper vessel.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, ask the angel to tell you what it means. Michael, what would you please tell Robin what are the...
Or somebody.
Or tell somebody.
I don't know what it is.
I've never seen that. So, Lord, what is the writing over this? Anybody get anything? Don't think it's crazy. Huh? Anyone who gets the interpretation of what's written, the angel will tell somebody what it is. Because God doesn't want us to remain ignorant.
Yeah.
That's right. See, that's what I think
it is.
It's
the verdict. Whoa!
Yes. Okay.
I like that. I thought we were missing something.
That's right.
I like you. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, what it says, I don't know.
Okay, we can't hear that.
I feel like God is saying.
Well, come on up.
Okay.
He said it's probably the verdict.
The verdict has not yet been announced.
Announced.
Oh.
So what's the verdict?
The Lord says if we confess and we repent,
right.
And the word repent means to turn around and see it differently and think differently.
Yes.
That He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yes. Amen.
All right, that's His word.
Amen.
So what does that say to you?
You have been
forgiven.
Yeah.
You understand now. My mind understands why things were happening, so I now understand giving. And now, Father, because of this, you have removed out of the book of the accuser. You have removed it. You have forgiven me by removing it, and you have cleansed me from any accusation or lien that he has against me. And now when you look at me, Father, he cannot stand and say no. Because he cannot even stand when I come to you and ask you for the things that I need.
Wow.
I believe Steve's right. I don't know what it says, but I believe he's right because it seems like it's a permanent thing.
Okay, so does anybody, Robin, hear what Robin said? She said she believes it's a permanent thing.
Yeah.
So does anybody hear what the word is that Robin saw in the Spirit? There's something over us right now that we need to hear what God is saying. Somebody's heard it.
What exactly did Robin see?
She saw a bowl, and she saw all these Hebrew letters over it. And she said, but she couldn't make out what it was saying. It was like a declaration, would you think?
I don't know Hebrew. I just know that
it's,
you know.
I kind of heard yes and amen.
Yes and amen. Amen. Woo, that's good.
That's good.
Yes and amen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And when we were doing that second one, I had chills all over my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just completely.
Yeah.
And right now there's like.
I'm getting pretty wet.
There's like a pressure in my whole head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, guys. Like, you know, like, not like a bad one. It's just more like, you know, presence, but
yeah.
You
still do?
I'm feeling something.
Yeah.
Is it a good hit?
All right. I don't know what bowl you saw, but I saw a bowl with English words.
Okay.
I don't need this.
And it's true.
I'm mama, baby. Mama don't need it. I know how to scold you. You way back there. So what I saw was a bowl, a white bowl, okay? And the bowl said wealth, prosperity, healing, totality.
All right, that's good. Now,
Well, no, I'm not sorry to have to share.
I don't know if this is what you saw, but the words that I got is that your debts are forgiven. Okay. And the word that I was trying to say when my I got all tongue tied is that we are wealthy in Him. When I released that, the chains were being broken, and then I went back there. I saw, you know how when you're in the courtroom and the police officers are there to take the guilty party away, I saw a vision of all the officers lining up back there, which was actually angels, to take the guilty party away, which was Satan, away from our debts. Lack of, you know, we no longer have to work so hard. Provision, thank you. Work so hard just to make ends meet. Because that's an oppression from the enemy, and we can't be set free to do other things. We got to work so hard. So that ends now, is what I got in my spirit. Yeah.
So, you got more?
So I heard fire first. I was like, what's that? And then I felt heat, and I heard the Lord say that His all-consuming fire is in this room at this very moment. The Holy Spirit is just wiping everything negative away from us. And He wants us to know that it's not going to come back, and we just have to stand on that. And then for some reason, I saw surrounding this room, like, it was weird. You know, like thorn bushes, like thorns, like just like a wall of it just going around us of thorns.
Edge of protection.
Yeah.
That's great.
So when you said something about the angel in the beginning, I saw an angel on your right side. It was a huge angel. And then when we prayed, I actually saw other angels to the left here. And they had arrows, like, pointed at us. And I asked God, what are they? It was the accuser. And it's like, oh, this is a little crazy. And then she explained it. And so it's like, oh, okay. And then when we prayed, I saw two angels, like, dipping something. And it was like a liquid gold going towards us, and it was with fire. So that's what I saw.
That's great. Yeah, because the question that I feel, isn't there something somewhere where it talks about that the bowl needs to tip?
It says that not only us fill the bowl with prayers, but also the angels add their prayers as well to the bowl.
Right.
So that when it becomes full, then it's tipped,
right,
and God answers the prayers.
Okay, so I guess I'm, since I thought of that, I'm like, is that something that
I'm wondering if the words that Robin saw over it was the final words that needed to be put into the bowl to tip it.
Is that a sneeze? Something manifesting over there.
Was it good, brother?
That's too funny. So anyway, I'm just curious if we're supposed to do anything about that.
Just actually, two quick questions.
Yeah.
Do you still see the accuser? What's he up to?
No, I saw, like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West melts. The thing melted. That's what I saw after the prayer.
Oh, what a world! Another question?
No, on some levels, when you do these in the future,
yeah,
it's always a good thing to let the accuser, after Jesus and after we present our that kind of prayer, also to let the accuser have an opportunity to say, understanding that we're all covered with the blood of Jesus,
right,
and you can give him all 5 seconds because he has nothing to say.
Yeah.
But to also have that legal kind of
that balance.
I think you're right. Yes.
To say he has no more argument.
Yeah, there's no more argument. Typically, when but from what I understand, and I'm just like a total newbie at this, so, you know, but what I understand is that when you are presenting either yourself or someone else before God, you know, in the court, that's when you're gonna hear the accusations. This was a corporate thing. And if we had stood here and waited to hear all the accusations of him, you know what I mean? Is it or not? You're not saying that? Okay, no. Help me, brother.
No, he's saying after.
Oh, afterwards.
After the verdict is done, he what he had to say. He should have nothing to say.
Actually, even before the verdict.
Oh,
right.
Okay. You know, we did our part.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is there. He's our lawyer.
Yeah.
We did our part and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the judge can turn to the accuser and say, you know, what do you have to say? Yeah. Jesus just reminds him that, you know, what he's going to be accusing us, that these people that he's accusing are covered with the blood of Jesus. Okay. Usually it's all, you know, 5 minutes or 5 seconds of silence because there's nothing he can say at that point. But that just covers that balance so that he can never come back again around this issue. Okay. Then the other piece is to ask for a permanent restraining order, which I'm thinking of that.
Oh, I love it. I like that.
No, you're right. We actually talked about that, you know, how the devil has a permanent, not permanent, has a temporary power of attorney to fulfill the words that we say that he agrees with. You know, he doesn't have to go before the court every time we say something negative to get permission to carry that out, because he has this temporary power of attorney to act on my behalf and your behalf when we say something he agrees with. Right? So what I like that whole restraining order thing, and I think you covered that in your prayer, basically. That second that prayer.
I like the way he put it back.
Yeah, but that's a great way to put it. Are you a lawyer? Are you a lawyer?
Sometimes I do these court cases.
Seriously? Wow. Because, I mean, listen, honestly, we're just learning here, right? And this whole corporate thing is so, you know, it's so amazing that I don't feel qualified yet to lead something like this. And if they weren't going to come tonight, and thank God you came as well, if they weren't going to come tonight, I probably wouldn't have done this. You know, because this is an area that I'm still really learning how to function in well. I think we're learning we can do it individually. You know, because again, that's not as big, not as trying to do a corporate thing. In Jesus' name, somebody lay hands on her and cast that thing out. That cough has been with her for a while. And that needs to go in Jesus' name. But does that make sense? That, you know, when we talk about this as a corporate type of a thing, it's... But you know what's so cool? Did you notice how much we all contributed to understanding that? See, this is what it looks like. We're getting glimpses of what it means for us to work together as a tribe, as a family, as those that he's giving us responsibility to do this. Guys, man, we're going to be able to do amazing things in this region as the Lord gives us, you know, I feel like I'm going to start, Jack, with something easy, you know, which is your wealth. Because that hits home, right? Our understanding of that. And by the way, if you're interested in going deeper into what the kingdom economy is all about, back on the heavensinvasion.com website, back in December, I did a 5-part series on the kingdom economy. And so that's, you know, we're trying to move more and more into that. And I think today we got a huge boost, you know, in our functioning. Does that make sense? So I got some other people with hands raised.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do what he said, I believe I'm seeing him in chains being held back. So if you want him to come back in, I believe you can ask him to come back in and do what he said or not. I mean, because that's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Would you like to do that?
I can allow you.
You want me to go? Yeah, sure. Put it on me. I told you I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you, Lord. So what did you do it? You saw it, my goodness.
No, I'm just saying,
I don't know. So, okay. All right, so he said he saw him change, right?
Okay.
All right. So, Father, we thank you. Just right now, we allow for any rebuttal. Yeah, we're all covered by the blood right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I can see it trying to speak, and it's screeching, like nothing's coming out.
Okay. And let's keep it that way. So, Lord, we ask you for this permanent restraining order.
Yes.
We declare you are permanently restrained in Jesus' name.
Recorded in the book of remembrance.
Recorded in the book of remembrance.
And seal it with the Holy Spirit.
And seal it. Holy Spirit, seal it. And if you agree, say, so be it.
So be it.
Rest.
We're going to get good at this. We really are.
Yeah. I heard this matter is forever settled in heaven and in earth.
Come on, let's give the Lord some praise for that. Woo! Jesus. Yeah.
But I want to say that I heard that.
You heard that too?
I heard that it's been dismissed, especially the court that word was prejudiced, that it's been dismissed, and the enemy can never file it again against us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The plunder?
I don't know.
Receiving the judgment.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then you ask the Lord to release a decree.
Okay.
I'm learning here, man. All right. I feel like I'm in kindergarten.
Okay.
Then, Lord, we ask you to release a decree to the angels, the officer of the court, that through the clerk of court, that they will now go forth, and that everything that the enemy has taken, he will now surrender to the court. And if he does not surrender back to your court to be dispersed back out to your children, that, Lord, he will have to come before you and deal with this matter. And we thank you, Father, Lord, and Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. What about the part that says that the thief must repay sevenfold? Come on, can you see the sevenfold? I see it. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Go ahead. Brother, thank you, man.
The other quick request is, God, your timing is different than our timing. So could you please understand and have mercy on us and work in our time on this repayment.
Yeah, because you know that for the Lord, a day is just 1,000 years. We want to see it happening now. Yes. That's good. What else?
I keep seeing the same vision over and over again. I see an angel who's got his foot on the neck of a snake. And every time he's talking, I see the vision over, and I see that snake just slithering and his tail going up, and he can't move because the angel has his foot on his neck.
Okay.
And as you keep saying more and more things, I see that tail just going up. Like he's trying to get away and he can't. And he's getting angry because we keep releasing more and more and more.
Okay. So what are we doing about that? Anything? Is that something we need to be concerned about?
The simple fact of it is we just asked the Lord to remove any empty threats from the enemy.
Any empty threats. Lord, remove the empty threats.
Yes, Lord.
Because that's all they are, right? That's all they are.
I just want to tell you that when you were praying, I saw the angels, like, you know how, like, they're waiting?
Yeah.
Like when the horse races start?
Yeah.
They're just, like, eager to go.
Yeah.
And they have all these stuff in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw.
Amen.
Woo! All right. Amen. Good.
Woo! Heavenly FedEx. I'm glad he knows all of our addresses.
I just want to say that when you asked if we saw any angels, I saw this huge angel behind you, and I didn't know what kind of an angel it was. but it had no light on it. And I think that's what you saw, maybe. No light. It was dark. And now I understand, because he's in chains now. So the chains, I felt that God told me chains were broken. And the chains that were broken on us, they're on him now. And so now I know that that angel had chains on him. So now I know what kind of angel I was.
Okay, good.
That's awesome.
Wow, wow, wow.
So,
it's okay to ask the sergeant of arms, you know, just to remove them. The accuser, any demonics and watchers, anything that is not, anything that has been plundering us, that's been judged against, to allow them to be removed.
Okay. Amen. Lord, we ask you to do that right now. Any hangers-on, Lord, from the enemy's kingdom, Lord, we just ask. Actually, we have authority, so you know what?
Yeah.
Get out.
They got no right.
Huh?
Yeah. They have no right.
They have no right, exactly. So, wow. So, let me ask you something. How many of you think it'd be really cool if whenever Roger and Robin are in town, could we do something like this?
Yeah.
And I hope you guys are able to join